Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Learn more of God's Word and grow deeper in your walk with Christ.
The title of my message today is, What Colors Do You Stand For? What colors do you stand for? Now, this is our patriotic Sunday, and we set aside this Sunday to commemorate the birth of the greatest nation on earth, the United States of America. It was conceived in liberty, and our forefathers were dedicated to the biblical ideal of man being equal. And we love Old Glory, don't we? We even call her a her. She's a grand old flag. She's a high-flying flag. We love her. Enormous flags are unfurled at stadiums to honor our country, different athletic events and celebrations. We can view the hallowed flag tattered and torn, pulled from ground zero. And of course, the vision of the flag draped coffins of fallen soldiers coming back from war. The flag. A flag means something. A flag tells me who I am. The flag tells me who I represent. And the flag tells others where my allegiance lies. The American flag today, as I talk about the American flag, is telling me who I am, who I represent, and where my allegiance lies. Today I stand before you proudly and say, I'm an American. And we're all ambassadors. If you're citizens of the United States of America, you are an ambassador of our nation. And so we live that ambassadorship out as Americans. And so you tell people who you are. I am an American today. You tell people what this flag represents, and we're going to talk about it in depth in a moment, but it's the fact that it represents our nation and the freedoms that we uphold, the Constitution of the United States of America, the Declaration of Independence. And then we represent it well. How do you represent your nation today? You take it for granted? Or do you represent it loud and clear? We need, as Americans, to have a voice. And we have the voice of freedom, don't we? It's challenged at times, but we have it. I was recently at an event at Kent State Stark University for Pregnancy Choices, and Mike Huckabee spoke. And he shared a long, long story about a young lady, 14 years old, going through the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, and that her father was concerned about her going through that at such a young age and how it was going to affect her. They went through the museum, and they get to the end, and there's a guest book to sign. And she signed her name. And then on the opposite page, there's a place for a comment. And here's what a comment of this 14-year-old girl was. Why didn't anybody say anything? Wow. As Mike Huckabee concluded his speech, the 14-year-old girl was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And the man standing behind her was her father. Why didn't anybody say anything? As Americans, we've got to learn to say something. And we're going to talk about as Christians in just a few minutes as well. But stand up. You're an ambassador of the United States of America. And whether you're here on the shining shores of our nation or you go to a foreign country, you're still an American. And we have a lot to be proud of as a nation today. My first point I want us to focus on is that of being an American and in our flag. And you can see Eric put the flag close by me today. And I want to talk about our flag today and what it represents and help us to get an idea of what it all means. The House of Representatives published an article called Our Flag. And here's what they say about the flag. The colors of the pales are the stripes. As our flags are hung on both sides of the auditorium, They're hung as a banner. And the flag was made to hang as a banner. The pales, or vertical stripes as they are on the sides, or horizontally, the way this flag is displayed, are stripes of white. They signify purity, the purity of the United States of America. And I know we can argue that fact today on where our country stands on certain areas, but we look at our country in a whole. Our country and our flag represents purity. It represents innocence. Can you imagine back to 1776 and the signing of the Declaration of Independence and what those men put on the line for our freedom today? Having no clue of where we'd be 242 years later. The white stripes, they represent innocence and purity. The red stripes represent hardiness and valor. When we sang our national anthem this morning, we think about the valor of the red stripes. We think about the hardiness of our country today. Although very young, relatively speaking, to other nations in the world, we've had our share of battles. And yet, every time the battle is waged around this flag, we've become victorious. And we're only victorious because we stand one nation under God. And we're only victorious by the men and women who represent the hardiness of the United States of America as it stands in the red stripes. The broad band, or the blue that fits underneath the stars, the broad band beneath the stars is called the color of the chief, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. It's the color of the chief, and it signifies vigilance and perseverance and justice. Vigilance. The flag's always shining. The flag's always raised. Even when we lower it to half staff in mourning, the flag is always raised. The flag is lit at night, and the flag is honored at all times. It's vigilant. The flag of the United States of America needs to remain flying high. And the colors represent that, and they're vigilant. Perseverance. I think of, again, as I mentioned, the flag at Ground Zero and what that means to our nation. Across the street from our house, they're building a new hospital. And when they put the tallest beam on just a few weeks ago, from that beam they hung an American flag. Why? Perseverance, vigilance. And we have the freedom in our nation to continue to grow and to build. And the flag represents that. And justice, justice for all, as we pledged this morning, the pledge of allegiance and justice for all. It doesn't matter who you are. This nation was founded for its citizens to have justice for all. I'm thankful for justice today. And sometimes justice is meted out in the courts of the United States of America, but ultimately justice will be meted out in God's court. Justice, as they say, will be served. What about the stars? The stars are symbols of the heaven. As you gaze at the stars and you see the heavens. And also, the writers of this article said that the divine goal that man has aspired to, it gives us something to look forward to. I will achieve my divine goals when I look toward the heavens and I talk to God about my goals. Let the stars today of our flag remind you of the heavens. And then they made one final point about the stripes, are rays of light emanating from the sun. So let me say one more time today, I'm proud to be an American. And Americans have been upholding these ideals for 242 years. I love my country, and my love for my nation goes very, very deep. I'm not sure where my patriotism came from, but it came long before I had someone serving in the military. I've been a patriot all my life, as far as I know. I remember going as a kid to the Memorial Day parades down in Magnolia, and we would hide out in the front of the cemetery, and the moment that the volley of shells were shot, we would dive underneath to grab the shells to take home with us. Sometimes we still got burnt on those shells. They weren't cold yet. I remember doing that. I remember what the flag meant. I remember what we were told to take your hat off, put your hand over your heart when the flag is raised or walks by you. And I'm thankful that my children know that and my grandchildren know that. That when my grandchildren see a flag, they stand up and they put their hand over their heart because they know what it represents. Don't get tired of it. Don't take it for granted this morning. As much as I love America, I know this. My true citizenship is not in America. My true citizenship is in heaven. As I was studying, and God always preaches sermons to us before we preach, I was studying this week and I read an article. I've already got my message done. I've got everything finished. Here's the title of the article. Should we celebrate the 4th of July at church? Well, I already am. I already have my message done. I wasn't going to redo a message. But here's the point that the author made, and I want to share the paragraph. The author's name is John Lehman. I want to share this paragraph. I quote, I remember attending he has the title under this portion of the article, Celebrating Our Heavenly Citizenship. I remember attending an evening Bible study inside the back room of Britain's House of Commons in 1993. I was the strange American interning for a member of Parliament. Yet I remember experiencing an immediate sense of kinship with these fellow British staffers. Somehow, we appeared to share a common language, and I don't mean English, but a deeper heart language of worship and allegiance. And national differences remained, but an apparent as our differences were in accents, they faded. More profound was a common love and loyalty to a common king whose name isn't Charles or William or Bill. If that's true for a weeknight Bible study, how much more for the services when we gather around the Lord's table, which we did just last Sunday, and we declare ourselves to be one body. The same has been true of my experience with saints in Germany, Malaysia, Uzbekistan, Venezuela, and beyond. Church gatherings represent nothing if not a celebration of our heavenly and not earthly citizenship. The Lord's table is by definition a multinational table. Certainly, Christians should thank God for any good that he has given through one nation. Paul argued in the Athenian Areopagus that God himself marked the times and boundaries of nations. He exhorts churches to intercede for rulers, to give thanks for them and to honor them. So let's pray and give thanks. Maybe even spend a few extra minutes on the Sunday closest to a national holiday to do so. And this is important here. My own church thanks God for the ability to worship freely and prays for political leaders nearly every Sunday. We pray for America's prosperity on every front, our schools, our businesses, our military, our entertainment industry, our homes. Christians have a vested interest in promoting just, fair, happy, and healthy nations because free and power and peaceful nations provide an opportunity for people to get saved. What's so special about our country? What is the meaning of the freedom that we have in this flag? The meaning is this, folks, that we have the freedom to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ whenever and wherever we want to. And to this day, when the gospel is preached, because of what our flag represents as Americans, people can be saved. And I pray today as we preach the gospel that people will be saved. So it's easy. It's easy for me to see the comparison between my patriotism and my faith in Christ. My second point is this: the flag colors remind me of the gospel. When you leave today, I want you to have two things. I want you to know what the flag of the United States of America means as Americans. But I also want you to never look at the flag again without thinking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The blue color of the flag represents the color of royalty. And who is royal but our God? God in his holy hill, on the throne, King of kings and Lord of lords, ruling from heaven. Up beyond the stars, his throne gleaming like a brilliant sapphire. When you look at the American flag and you look at that blue background, I want you to think of God. I want you to think of God in his royalty, in his power, in his strength, sitting upon the throne. May the flag lead you to think about who God is. The stars on the blue field allow me to focus on heaven. After the crucifixion and the resurrection, the disciples witness his ascension. His ascension, that's something that we don't talk a lot about. We don't talk about the ascension much. We know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but when we celebrate Easter, we talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But very seldom do we talk about what happened 40 days later, that he ascended to the right hand of the Father and sits there interceding for us in prayer. We have a God that we can look to the sky and focus upon. Yes, he lives within our hearts as believers in Christ. But let me also tell you that we can look to the heavens and think about God. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. The Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" The ascension of Christ. The ascension of Christ brought us into the church age. And what I want you to think about as we gaze into the skies, I want you to think about the fact of how close the rapture of the church is, how close we are to becoming those citizens of heaven. We know this, that from the day of the rapture, the tribulation starts, and it's a 7-year time period. We know the time period of the tribulation. And we know that the Bible says that during the tribulation, it will be like the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many would say you think we're living in those days right now? So here's my point. I don't know when the rapture is going to happen, and neither do you. And the Bible says neither does Jesus. He's waiting for the Father. Can you picture this for a moment? Christ at the right hand of the Father. His left ear is to God, but his right ear is to us, to intercede for us. He's listening with his right ear for us every moment, all the time. His left ear is waiting for one statement: "Go get my church." He's waiting to hear that. If we sit here today and say that it seems like we're in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah, then how close, if here's the rapture day and here's the church age now, I think we're pushing close to it. And I've been a Christian for 42 years, and I've heard sermon after sermon after sermon, and I used to say, "Yeah, right," but now I'm like, "Oh my." That's how close it is, folks. So I would encourage you to look at the stars and to look up, for we know that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. But he also gives us comfort in where he is today. In John 14, very familiar verses, John 14, 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. For 2,000 years, Jesus had been preparing a place for us. And someday soon, he's going to call us there. Jesus is my true country. Jesus is my eternal home. When we think about the stripes and the focus on the stripes, focus on the Son. If the blue causes the focus on the Father, then the stripes allow us to focus on the Son. Isaiah 53, 5 states this, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We are spiritually healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Let the stripes of the flag remind you of the Christ stripes that he took for us. The red color of the stripes on the American flag, when I look at it with gospel glasses on, when I look at it through the eyes of a believer in Jesus Christ, the red reminds me of the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. As we talked about earlier of being a patriot, the challenge of a patriot is dying for people that you don't know or have never met or a generation to follow. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. I wasn't born when Jesus died on the cross, but he still died for my sins. So it's the blood of Christ, as we look at the American flag with gospel glasses on, that we see the blood of Christ. Revelation chapter 1, these next three verses are in the book of Revelation, if you want to turn there. Revelation 1, 5, I'll give you a second, find the book of Revelation, and these you can look at with your own eyes, maybe a little quicker. The last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and look what he did, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My salvation rests in no other than the blood of Jesus Christ. My salvation, my eternal life, is not based on the United States of America. I am not a Christian because I live in the United States. I'm not a Christian because I was born in the United States. I'm not a Christian because my parents were born in the United States. I'm a Christian only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, every tongue, and every people and nation. And that goes back to my point of the article that I read, the kindred spirit that we have with believers all over the world. I've had the opportunity to take several mission trips, and sometimes I know the language, sometimes I don't. And when you're with other believers, whether they know the language or not, you're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's amazing. He died for all. Jesus Christ died for the sin of all mankind. And in verse 9 there of chapter 5, it says, He redeemed us. He bought, he purchased, and he redeemed you by his blood. You are his. We were born as Satan's child. We were born in sin, we lived in sin, but when we accepted Christ as our Savior, he bought, he purchased, and he redeemed us. We're his. The Bible tells us we're not our own. We think we have freedom in Christ, and we do, but it's not the freedom you think. It's not the freedom a lot of Christians think. Well, I'm saved. I can't lose my salvation. I'll do whatever I want to do. And that's not what it means. Because he bought, he purchased, and redeemed me, so I must serve him. And I serve him to his honor and to his glory. But I only serve him that way when I realize that it was his blood that purchased me. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Once again, the blood of Christ saves us. Both in the book of Hebrews and in the book of Leviticus, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no way to Jesus without him dying and shedding his blood on the cross for our sins. That's the red stripe. The red stripe reminds me of the blood of Christ. The white stripe reminds me of my purity. Now listen to this. Reminds me of my purity in Christ. Not my purity. My purity is of no value at all. It's as filthy rags. But my purity in Christ. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. I love this verse because it causes me to think. It says this, come now, let us reason together with the Lord. Let us sit down and talk. Let's reason together. Let's think about this for a minute. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Think about it. That's what God's saying here. Think about it. My blood has taken your sins and washed them white as snow. When God looks at me in Christ, he sees me perfect. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, he can't look at you. Your sin prohibits his holiness from looking at you. But as a believer in Christ, he sees me through Christ and sees me justified. He sees me perfected in Christ. He sees me perfect and he sees me pure. The flag, as I said before, it tells me who I am. The flag tells me who I represent. The flag, it tells me where my allegiance lies. I am a Christian. My allegiance lies to Jesus Christ.
Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.